G'day and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of the Duck and Rico's Red Dirt Podcast, broadcasting through Blue Collar Media from Duck Creek Central out here on the banks of the Hawkesbury River. A big thank you for those of you that have had a listen to our first podcast last week. We really do appreciate all the feedback we received as well. Now on this week's show, we'll catch up with Danielle from the Windora Service Station as she and the surrounding districts out there are getting ready for the big Birdsville races. There will be an absolute influx of people heading out to the Birdsville, and of course all those surrounding towns do very, very well when it's all happening in Birdsville. We'll also have a chat to our mate Peter Woods, who's the big wheel at this week's Sydney Four-Wheel Drive and Adventure Show, and we'll get all the latest there. Rico will rediscover Australia by looking back at Captain Thunderbolt. And for those of you that have done a run up the New England Highway, you'll know about Thunderbolt's Cave, because that's the area that he was most seen out there up to no good and hanging around. So Rico will take a look at that. We'll also take a run down the Strzelecki track on our desert track segment this week. We'll put the spotlight on a working station stay in the Western Australian outback. And I also want to do a piece this week on some outback legends. And in particular, one of those legends who many of you might know is Barnsley out there at Birdsville. So we'll have a bit of a chat about that and about him. And we'll look at some legends over the next few weeks. There's plenty of them out there. We'll shoot the breeze. We'll talk anything about Australian outdoors that may come up. And like we did last week, we're more than likely, you know, to get sidetracked as well. So kick back, grab a beer, spend some time with us two knockabout blokes. And hopefully you'll enjoy that. Let's get into it right now, Rico. G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. How are you travelling?
Mate, we're going all right there, mate. I'm thinking, how good is it? Our first podcast last week, we got a fair bit of feedback.
Some of it was even good.
Yeah, I know. Yes, that's right. And we do have an email address too, Rico. What's that email address?
Info@ricoandtheduck.com.au.
Info@ricoandtheduck. That is the way to get in touch. Or you can get in touch with us through our Facebook pages as well. But we do have a designated email for that. And you can certainly just send an email. And we did cop a couple of emails last week, which we might get into. And for Charles and a few of the other blokes out there, Denny Dave down there in Deniliquin, and of course our man Roger, and the Gaudry boys up in Mackay, all the usual people that tune into the radio and who follow our stuff. It's good to see that they've grabbed hold of the podcast as well. So hopefully you won't be disappointed, boys. And if I know half of you blokes, especially you boys up there in Mackay, you'll be kicking back, throwing down a few cold ones as they do.
Ah, Mackay, God's country. How good is it up there?
It is good, mate, I've got to say. I just mentioned me mate Denny Dave down there in Deniliquin, and he's got an ex-ambulance that he tours around with. He's a bit of an old silo runner himself.
Yeah.
He's got a Cummins engine in it.
Nice.
I posted some stuff on our Facebook page about the Ram Trucks, who are a sponsor of the radio show, and we had to do some filming with that, and we did that with your mate Sean, and spent a fantastic day out in the mountains around Weenie Creek and Colo and Lower Portland. Geez, it's a long way from the city.
Yeah, mate, that's the way I like it too. Yeah, that's our backyard out there, isn't it?
Absolutely, it sure is, and it's not that far from here. We just took a couple of back streets, and next thing we were in there. And well, I posted some stuff about the Ram truck, and he commented about this because the bigger Rams come with the Cummins engine.
Yeah.
Well, mate, he's had one fitted in his ex-ambulance. How good is it?
That would be spectacular. They're a great touring engine. They got so much torque down low.
Mm.
It's exactly what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And good on you, Dave, and keep the information coming, mate. We certainly do love it, and we're glad that he had one complaint about the podcast.
Too short?
Too short and not on every day.
Ah, good on you, Denny Dave. What a champ.
Yeah, so, mate, and he's a huge fan of the show and everything we do, so good on you, mate. And we will keep these podcasts coming out weekly, and who knows, it could always be twice a week. We just never know where it can take us.
That's right.
We're just making it up as we go. And so we'll we're so happy that you have taken it on board and having a tune in and kicking back and enjoying what we're producing right here in the shed at Duck Creek Central. Now, mate, we've got no time constraints because it's a podcast, so we can take as much time as we like and talk about what we want, basically. This week, mate, you want to look at Captain Thunderbolt on your little Australia Rediscovered segment.
Yeah, Captain Thunderbolt. I love Australian bushranger stories, and most Australian history stories for that matter, but bushrangers, I don't know, there's just something about them that sort of romanticises that time, you know, back when Australia was still very, very young.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's heard of Ned Kelly, of course. Captain Thunderbolt, probably not quite so famous. So, yeah, we'll duck into that a little bit later in the show and talk about where he came from and what he got up to.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll mention it later, but there is where he's hideout, where he hid out in a cave, and you can actually go into that cave today and check it out.
Yeah, so, yeah, been there.
Yeah, have you been there? Yep. Yeah, good stuff. We also want to we're going to toss things up on this podcast, so we don't want it to be the same every week. We'll move around from things to things. We did mention last week that we would do some stuff on ghost towns, and we will do that. But we're just sort of making it up as we go. So one thing I wanted to talk about today is some of the escapes you can, you know, nature escapes, as they say, and the places to escape to in your four-wheel drive. And I want to talk about a bit of a beach run that doesn't get a lot of publicity, and that's the run from North Noosa up to Rainbow.
That's a long way on the beach.
It is a great drive. I've done it, and we were camped at Noosa North Shore and went for the run up. And I've got to say, it was a really good drive. Obviously, with all beach driving, it's like the tides, and you've got to keep your eye on that. But then you get up to these rocks just south of Noosa, and you can get caught there. Saw a couple of people caught there. We actually got through at a reasonable time, and then did a bit of fishing. You know, which obviously was a complete waste of time. But whilst doing that, I saw people get stuck at those rocks with the tide coming in.
Yep.
So, but it's just one of those. Everybody talks about Stockton, and they talk about Fraser and Moreton, and all these beach drives. You don't hear a lot about that drive from Noosa to Rainbow. So we'll have a bit of a chat about that as well. And like I said, we'll catch up with Danielle from the Windora service station. Now, get ready for Danielle, Rico.
Yeah.
She's an outback Queenslander.
Oh, forget about it.
Now, look, if you are heading to the Burswell races and you are going through Windora, look, pop into the service station. As you come into Windora, it's the service station. You'll see a little pump on the left. That's not the one. There's actually the service station. But here's a little tip for you. Don't give Danielle any cheek.
No.
She's no nonsense.
No, I bet.
Yeah, and her
especially
and her
that time of year.
And her and her husband, Pete, who's been pretty cooked lately. I hope you're all right, Pete, and going all right. I'm sure you'd still be enjoying a beer there at the end of the day. When we go to Birdsville for the Big Red Bash, we camp at the service station.
Yeah.
So what happens is everyone's queued up to get in and to fuel up. So we take the back streets around and just drive straight into the backyard of the servo, and we fuel up real early in the morning, you know, before he opens.
Yep.
Basically, so we don't have to
sit. Yeah, I've been stuck in that line before. It's
they can get very big.
And, it's good fun though, because everyone's in high spirits. They're all off on this magnificent adventure. So
yeah,
it's good times.
Yeah, for sure. And so we camp there in the back of the service station. They've got, you know, a fair yard there, and then we'll usually have a few beers with Pete.
Yep.
Just out the back, and then we'll wander over to the pub. But then early in the morning, and he leaves the back open for us so we can get in the showers and stuff like that, they fire the kitchen up and knock up a brekkie, and I think we might even have a bit of a feed the night before in the servo as well, just to say thanks, Danielle, for looking after us, and we better spend some money here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they've done some work there too, so it's a great if you're heading that way and you've never been there, you'll be stoked, because they've spent a few dollars in the kitchen and done all that up, so you can get a good feed there at the servo as well. So, and they've got a little shop, and it's a great service station, Windora, and they've got a Facebook page. They post plenty of photos as well. Some of the sunrises out there, mate, and sunsets are just amazing.
Mate, you can't beat an outback sunset sunrise. Mm. It's as good as it gets. If you haven't experienced one, you're missing out.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And of course, you've got the Windora pub right across the road. And, geez, that's a beer. I love that pub. It's like in two sections. You've got the dining section on one side of the beer garden and then the bar on the other side. But in the beer garden, you've got this huge fire pit.
Yeah.
You would have had a few there,
wouldn't
you?
Yeah, I've been there a few times, yep.
How good is it? So we'll do that. And we'll also catch up with our man Woodsy from the Four Wheel Drive and Adventure Show and find out what is happening there. It's on this weekend. And for those of you that are listening to the podcast before the weekend, if you can get there, you need to do it, because it's a fantastic show. I'll be down there. We'll be broadcasting the Camping and Off-Road Radio Show from there as well on the Friday. You'll find us at the Terrain Tamer stand. Then I'm at this thing called the Content Creators Stage.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Now, what's the go there?
Yeah, well, Ronnie Dahl is looking after that. And four-wheeling Australia Stage, I think it's going to be called. So you need to pop in and say, g'day, I'll be emceeing that stage. and doing all that. So, and it's basically what it is, it's all the people that you see on YouTube, Sam Isles, a hope of a stack of other people. You pop any sort of four-wheel drive, you know, comment into YouTube and you'll get all these video clips, and there's all these people that are filming, and, you know, they're filming things and producing stuff like that. So it's they've got them all together, and they're all content creators.
So they're going to give tips, and
they're going to get tips, share stories, yeah, share, you know, a bit of fun, and it'll be a little bit different, and it should be a lot of fun. And but all their vehicles will be there as well. Some pretty good builds amongst them. Some of the money that's been spent on, I mean, there's one vehicle there in particular that's a camera car, and it's a 79 series, and it's had a bucket load spent on it, and that'll be parked on display, and you can check it. You've obviously had a lot of experience with those sorts of things during your travels, mate, traveling with camera cars and crews.
Yeah,
and
that's right. Yeah,
and all that.
Is that Mick Ellum's car that you're talking about,
mate? I'm not 100%. That's a good question.
So it's the 79 series on portals.
It deserves. I think it might be him.
Yeah,
it's a good question, which deserved a good answer, Ricko. Yeah. Unfortunately, I just didn't have it for you at the time.
No, I'm pretty sure Mick will be out there, mate. And that truck is worth checking out. That is something special.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive show there in Sydney, and it's on again in Adelaide in a few weeks' time, as well as Perth, and we'll obviously talk about that as well. So we'll talk to Woodsy. He's out there right now, setting up, getting it all ready.
Yeah, I spoke to him this morning, actually. I'm going to be out there on Saturday myself, hanging out on the Darty stand. I'm going to be doing some product demos.
Yeah, beauty.
So we're going to show you how to set up and pack up some of their awnings and other bits and pieces like that. And I think there'll be a couple of giveaways there as well. So.
Yeah, happy days. All right, so go. If you're heading to the show, head out and say good day to Rico. He'll be at the Darty stand. And at some point, I might even wander down. You'll get a few tips off of myself.
Yeah, I'll be there making a nuisance of myself, mate. Yeah, don't worry.
Nothing wrong with that. All right. Well, that's basically what we're up to this week. And we'll get into all that stuff very, very shortly. We just want to put a bit of a shout out to everyone who sent us messages and emails and comments on our Facebook pages. We certainly do thank you for that, because without you people out there tuning in to what we're up to, it'll just be Rico and I sitting here talking to ourselves. So we certainly do want to thank you for that. Keep it coming. The podcast now should be up at all the usual places. I mean, we basically posted it as soon as we did it last week, and it takes a while to get you know, reviewed, and then
there's a few processes and hoops you've got to jump through.
Yeah, but that should all be sorted now, and I've received some information on that. So we'll find the podcast at all the usual places now. And if you have any drama with that, of course, we do post the link on our social media pages. Anyway, all right, Rico, we'll get into it. We'll talk a little bit about Captain Thunderbolt, eh? What do you reckon?
Yeah, mate, let's do that.
All right, mate, let's get into that, and we'll get into that right now. Mate, Captain Thunderbolt.
Yes, he holds the record, believe it or not, for the longest roaming bushranger.
Really?
Yeah, he was at large for longer than anyone else. So there you go, six and a half years. Now, his name was Frederick Wordsworth Ward. Who gives their kid a middle name Wordsworth?
Wordsworth. So that was his middle name?
That was his middle name.
But I would have to say this. I'm going to make a big statement here. I don't think there'd be another person ever named that. I have never heard anybody called Wordsworth. If you're a Wordsworth out there, you know what? There could be a great line of Wordsworth people out there.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Wordsworth family. I've got to say, who does name you? Well, I'll tell you who does name their kid that.
I'll tell you what.
He's parents.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So for old Fred, Captain Thunderbolt, he was born in 1835, a stone's throw from Duck Creek Central, mate, in Wilberforce.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So he's around the corner from here.
Yeah, he was born in Wilberforce and moved to Windsor. Mm. He was the son of a convict. So Michael Ward, who was his father, was transported to Australia in 1815. I don't know what Michael did wrong, but clearly the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No.
So like a lot of young blokes at the time, Fred entered the workforce at a very early age, at the age of 11, believe it or not. Yep. Was sent to work on a cattle station out at Walker, so 450-odd k's away from home as an 11-year-old. Off the work you go, son. Mm. It's just insane. Yeah, hey, how times have changed.
Yeah, I reckon so. I mean, well, it is there's not too many 11-year-olds these days having have part-time jobs. I mean, remember the old paper boys?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and imagine that. Geez, hasn't Australia changed when the days when you'd have a paper boy selling the papers out of one of those yellow trolleys, blowing the whistle, and they'd have the odd bag of lollies and minties, yeah, and they'd have smokes, cigarettes. I mean, could you imagine that today?
Mate, it's...
It wouldn't happen. I mean, you'd need two security guards. Yeah, well, for a start, you'd have to be 18 to sell the cigarettes.
Yeah. Right?
And you'd have two security guards, and you'd need one of those FPOS machines.
So people, yeah, that's right.
People can tap and go. I mean, the paper boys would walk the streets on their own. They'd knock off from school. This is where we get sidetracked, Rico.
Yeah.
They'd knock off from,
we're good at this.
They'd knock off from school, and then they'd run to the paper shop, grab their trolley. The old mate news agent had the trolley loaded.
20 kilos of papers.
And they go and do the afternoon edition. I mean, I don't know if the papers still do the afternoon edition.
No.
And no. And they'd head out, and they'd get back in one piece with all their money.
Yeah, on dark.
On dark, and nothing would happen to them.
No, exactly right.
And they reckon Australia's changed for the better?
No.
Mm.
But even still, paperboy, it's a long stretch from 450 k's away from home on a cattle station at age 11.
Absolutely.
I think that's pretty impressive. Now, over the next 10 years, so between the age of 11 and 21, he spent plenty of time working on stations in New South Wales North, including a well-known horse stud where he actually gained a fair bit of notoriety. He's a very, very skilled horseman, which would obviously stand him in good stead later on. Now, in 1856, Captain Thunderbolt's nephew, a bloke by the name of John Garbutt. Now, if you're familiar with Windsor history, and the only reason I am is because a lot of my family are buried in Windsor, the name Garbutt is featured quite prominently throughout Windsor.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, big family. Well, he became the ringleader of a very large and horse and cattle stealing operation, and he encouraged some other members of the family to get involved, including Fred. So Fred helped Garbutt drive 4 dozen stolen horses from a family member's property to Windsor, where they were sold at auction. Now, to cut the long story short, they were charged and convicted. They got busted and sentenced to 10 years of hard labour on Cockatoo Island in Sydney. Now, they don't muck around with soft sentencing back then.
No.
Hey, here's 10 years of hard labour. You know, go knock yourself out, champ.
You camp on Cockatoo Island now.
No, that's right. Yeah. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't.
Me either.
No, it's probably a little bit too glamorous for me.
Yeah, same. Can't drive there. I'm not interested.
No, exactly.
So in the end, Fred was released on bail, but he quickly screwed up and was sent back. And then on September 11, 1863, Fred escaped by swimming over to Woolwich. That's a fair old swim over to there. And you can imagine that, you know, back in the day before a lot of commercial fishing and so on, you'd have to think there'd be a few sharks there.
Yeah, you'd be watching out for the Noahs.
Yeah. Right? The taxmen. Yeah. So Fred headed to New South Wales, New England region on the run, and he began his 6.5-year career as the notorious Captain Thunderbolt. He started out by robbing his shearer's hut near Yarralla, and 3 days later he was waiting to ambush the mail near what's now known as Thunderbolt's Rock, but he was spotted by troopers and he ended up in a bit of a gunfight. Now, during the fight, he copped a bullet in the back of his left knee, and that would later prove to be critical in identifying him when he was dead.
Yeah, right.
Because there was a bit of conjecture there about whether or not he was actually killed.
Yeah, didn't he have a girlfriend that travelled with him a fair bit as well at some point while he was up there? I'm pretty sure.
He was married to a girl, but no, yeah. she stayed at home.
Right, okay.
She stayed at home. They reckon that, some people say that she had something to do with helping him escape.
Yep.
But that was debunked.
Yeah.
Not true.
Right, okay.
You know, that was about as much as she had to do with anything. So
yeah, right,
he spent a lot of time away from home, old Captain Thunderbolt. So during that 6.5 years, he knocked over mailmen, travellers, pubs, stores, stations, and just becoming more and more famous along the way. You know, you couldn't walk the streets out in the New England region because you were a bit worried about it. You know, he primarily worked from the Hunter region up to the Queensland border, but occasionally he went a little bit west as far as Bourke. And did a bit of business out there. On the 25th of May in 1870, Captain Thunderbolt was enjoying a few drinks served to him by a bartender held at gunpoint in the Royal Oak Hotel, not too far from Thunderbolt's Rock. And that was the day he was eventually shot dead by Constable Alexander Walker. And there's no doubt that Thunderbolt was drunk. He's usually very careful and a very wary kind of bushranger. That's why he managed to stay on the run for 6.5 years. But due to spending an arvo on the drink, cost him his life.
Still, he cost me mine a few times as well.
So there was,
that's just the walk from the shed up to the house.
So there was some conjecture that that it wasn't him that was killed, because he was famed for being so wary and such a noted horseman and all the rest of it. But that identifying mark behind his leg where he'd been shot previously proved that it was him.
That was him.
So finally, the people of the New England region could rest at night.
Absolutely. And like we say, he was fairly famous, hence the fact now that there's a lot of information about him in that region still today. And you can go to the Thunderbolt Cave. Tell us a bit about that. You've been in there.
Yep.
What was it like? Because that's where he was. He hid in there. He basically lived in there, didn't he?
Well, he was on the run pretty much the whole time. He was very nomadic. He didn't stay in one place too long. But but that was one place where they did find a few bits and pieces that were said to have belonged to him. There's Thunderbolt's Lookout in Barrington as well. Yep. That's a great place. So he's been immortalised a whole bunch of ways. So he's got heaps of stuff named after him. There's Thunderbolt's Way. It's a road that runs from Gloucester to Inverell in northern New South Wales. There's the Thunderbolt's Fire Trail that follows some of the path that he took through the Barrington State Forest. So if you're ever up that way, make sure you go check that out. Thunderbolt's Lookout, Thunderbolt's Cave, Thunderbolt's Rock. And like I said, he still holds the record for being the longest roaming bush ranger in Australian history, and that will probably never be beaten.
It's funny how we've made these people. Criminals these days aren't even mentioned. But in those days, it was a different time, and they were characters as well. And a lot of them, like Ned Kelly, he was a bit of a Robin Hood as well.
Yeah, well, they called him the gentlemanly bushranger.
Yeah, it was certainly different times. And when you look at Ned Kelly, where now, I mean, you've been immortalised. I mean, you go down a drill tree and you buy souvenirs and things, and like you say, roads named after them, and Thunderbolt's Way, I've driven on that.
I think every second ute's got a Ned Kelly sticker, right?
Yeah, exactly. And
what about old mate Malcolm Naden a few years ago? That bloke was on the run up in the same area.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be naming any roads after him.
No.
No. We probably shouldn't be mentioning him at all, because he's not in their calibre.
No, but he lasted 6 months.
Yeah, no, exactly. But that's it, mate. So for people who are travelling in the New England region, you need to check it out and go and check out all those areas where they've named tracks after him. The Thunderbolt's Way is a beautiful drive as well. But check out the cave. I think the cave. You went into the cave. What was that? I'll just ask that. What's the cave like inside? Just
dark.
Just a dark cave. And you can imagine what it would have been like back then.
Look, here's a picture of it.
Yeah, good stuff. We are on a podcast. Well done.
Yeah. It's a black screen.
Yeah, just to. So if anyone's out there, pick up your phone and don't touch anything. You'll see a black screen. That's what it looks like inside. All right. So that is Rico Rediscovered and this week, and Captain Thunderbolt, and we'll touch on this stuff every week, and bring you some of the old characters and stories.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing from all the Wordsworths out there.
Yes, that's right. If you're a Wordsworth, I know a couple of Wordsmiths, but. They're not actually named Wordsmith, but they just are a Wordsmith. But I've never heard of a Wordworth. But anyway, all very, very good. Look, I think one thing we want to try and do on this little podcast is introduce a bit of music to Rico. So why don't we do that? Play a bit of a tune, and then when we after that, we'll jag our good mate Danielle from Windora Service Station.
Forward to it.
Yeah, I spoke to her earlier on, and I could hear the exhaust fan going in the kitchen while she's knocking up the burgers and getting all the locals' bacon and egg rolls ready and their coffees. It's pretty good up there. And but we'll find out just how she is preparing for the influx of people that are about to head her way on their way to the Birdsville races. Have you been to the Birdsville races?
I haven't done the races, no.
No, me either. No, I think it's – look, and I think the way they do it – I mean, obviously we've been to the Big Red Bash a few times, both of us but the races are a different kettle of fish again. They set bars up in the street outside the pub and get a whole lot of staff in to manage all that. And it's a pretty big deal. And I actually got a couple of mates up there at the moment who were sending me pics from out in the desert where they did a bit of a big loop around and sent me photos of their swags and of course, those sunsets that we mentioned earlier. And I'm tipping that there'll be plenty of beer and rum.
Oh, no question.
Up in that part of the world. And one bloke who we'll talk a little bit about, our man Barnsley from the Roadhouse out there. And,
yep.
And I'm sure he'll be getting very ready out there for all the all the people that are heading his all way the breakdowns. That are underprepared. Yeah, exactly. And I did hear that Barnsley was crook a few weeks back, and we probably should try and check in on him. But he's a good man, and like we say, he's one of the great outback characters that you'll meet when you travel in the Australian outback. In the meantime, like I said, we'll play a bit of a tune, and then after that tune, we will come back with our friend Danielle from Windora. And that was Luke Combs, Honky Tonk Highway. What a good tune that one is.
Ah, cracker.
It is good, mate, and we love nothing more than hitting a highway, as you know. Well, one highway we do love is the one that runs into Windora. And like I mentioned earlier, when you go to Windora on your way to the Birdsville races this week, actually, when you drive into town, especially if you're coming from the Brisbane side, you'll see a little pump on the left, little fuel pump.
Drive past that one.
Drive straight past that one. Because as soon as you drive past that one, you come across the Windora service station and the friendly welcome that you'll get from Danielle and Pete out there at the Windora service station. And Danielle is on the line. G'day, Danielle. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. And listen, look, before we get into it and we talk about what's happening there, because you are preparing for the influx of people that will be heading for the races, I saw something on social media the other night that there was an opera in Windora.
Yes, there was. And I think most people in town went up to it.
Yep.
And everyone seemed to really enjoy it. They were either singing in the front of the pub and serenading people up at the caravan park. So I think it went off pretty well.
Yeah, that's good. How did you go there? All right?
Oh, yeah, I didn't go. I was home in bed.
Not your cup of tea, huh?
Not my cup of tea, no.
Oh, very, very good. And for those of you who know Danielle well, and I do, I could just imagine Danielle would be – I'll tell you what I'll do with you, Danielle. If you ever go to it, I'll come up and go to it as well. Because
next time they're in, we'll book two seats.
Just book them at the back near the bar, will you? Because
that's it, close to the exit.
Yeah, exactly right. But it's good that they put these things on, and as long as a few people travel to it, it's good for the town, isn't it?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Anything like that's a bonus. And I think a lot of the tourists that are camped up at the park all went up and enjoyed the night, so it seemed to go off all right.
Yeah, no, that's the go. And it's always – look, any event is a good one. And especially out of places like Windora, because on most days of the week it's pretty quiet out there. How was your big red bash? I saw some of the lineup of traffic getting in there. It must have been huge for you.
It was massive. It's a very, very good event, and as I say to everybody, any town from wherever through to Birdsville would benefit by it for sure. It's great for these little communities.
How many litres of fuel do you reckon you go through on one of those weekends?
I reckon that Birdsville Bash weekend, easily 80 to 90,000 litres.
Wow.
That's just diesel on its own.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
That is unbelievable.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah. And you did some work to the kitchen, didn't you, at the service station? So you still get a good feed there?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, plenty now. We've also got that new little outdoor area, and we're going to be doing bits of meals tonight, pizzas, burgers, chips, fish chips, that sort of thing. So hopefully that's successful. We haven't sort of ventured to do anything of a night time before, but we thought, oh, well, we'll give it a go.
So where's that set up, out in the paddock?
Next door on the grass in front of where the donga was. You know,
I do.
On that lawn area. Peter's built a new shade thing off. We've got tables and chairs and stuff out there. It's good.
So al fresco. How good is it?
That's it. Al fresco. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's it. What al fresco. Well, we, as I mentioned to you, Rico, we camp in the backyard there. So it was just sort of near that little area where we camp there.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, oh, happy days. That'll be good.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's lovely out there.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And, of course, it's just a quick hop over to the pub too if you need to go for a cold one.
That's right. It's only a few steps and you're at the Western Star, so you're going easy.
Oh, sounds terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah.
So you're getting ready for the Birdsville races. You have much traffic through there yet?
It's been a steady flow for a week or so. Most of the horse trucks went through prior to last weekend, because Batuta Races was last weekend, and they had a really good turn up there. The committee there has done an amazing job of improving things and, just constantly swapping and changing, and it's brilliant out there now. But the Birdsville crew, they're just starting to get here. They had Karangadanga doing Quilpie last night, and that's usually pretty good for Quilpie. So we reckon sort of 10:30, 11 o'clock, they'll hit us like flies hitting a piece of rotten meat, actually.
Fair enough. I'm glad you said a piece of rotten meat. Although it is a podcast.
It sounded better.
It is a podcast. You're allowed to, you can sort of say what you like on here, but we're trying to keep it as tidy as we can. As you know.
That's right.
I mean, as you know me well, Danielle, and as you know, I'm very cultured.
Things get very loose.
That's why I don't want to flip up.
So, Danielle, what do you reckon's bigger now, the races or the bash?
Oh, no, definitely the Birdsville. The Birdsville bash is, I don't know, overrode Birdsville by probably double, if not more.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. Well, I think the head count at Birdsville was nearly 11,000 people at the Big Red Bash, which is massive.
Yep.
But I hope I'm right, but I think Birdsville races this year could be a little bit bigger and better than last year, on the numbers that have gone through already. Even up to a week, 10 days ago, people are saying they're going out to camp at Birdsville to go to the races. So, a lot more than normal.
Yeah. Is the pub at Batuta open?
No, it hasn't as yet. They've got a few issues, I think, with whatever I don't know what it is really. A few issues anyway, and hopefully they get that sorted and they get open as quickly as they can as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because
they put a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of heartache and tears into it, so hopefully they can get it going.
Yeah, I heard there was some drama with the Shire out there, but I don't know. I'm not fully across it. But anyway, they'll certainly sort it out, and that'll be a great, That'll be a great thing. That'll be people that'll head out to the bash and
birds. Oh, exactly. It's just an extra little attraction for someone to come and have a look at, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, there's not much else to see in Batuta, is there?
No, that's exactly right. Nothing.
Yeah, had any rain? Yeah, you had any rain out there?
No, not recently. We had good rain. I'm not really sure on the amount, but there was good rain in May and we had a good flood through down the creek. It was out. I think we were cut off for 8 to 10 days. Mm. Water was over the bridge and they were going over in the boat to pick up mail and all that. So it was beautiful. But hopefully Christmas time brings in a hell of a lot more of it because it doesn't seem to go very far.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It gets pretty dry. It'll start warming up.
It's so dry to start with. So.
Yeah, it'll start warming up out there as well soon. So,
well, it's 30, meant to be 34 today and 35 tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that's incredible, though. It's spring.
Jiminy crickets.
Early days of spring here, Rico, and she's 35 tomorrow, you reckon?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're saying. It's warm already, actually. Most people run around here in shorts and singlets.
Yeah. Has Pete got his carton stored up? Has he got a bit of a stock up in that cool room?
He's got the gold hanging out there ready.
He loves it. Danielle actually gets her beer on pallets from Dan Murphy's from the Big Smoke.
Yeah.
And shipped in, I think. You still do that?
Yeah, I still get it through them. There's another new one now, Booze Butt on Facebook. It's really good as well.
Yeah.
Cheap as postage, cheap as beer. It's great.
What's it called?
Booze Bud. Yeah, you know, it's just on Facebook. You look him up. She's very cheap.
Yeah, well, I was there and I've sat in that workshop with Pete while he's drinking those cans, having a couple of cordials myself. And Daniel, you'd attest that, wouldn't you?
Yes, that's correct.
No, that's good. We actually met Daniel a few years ago. We were going to the bash. This is, a few years ago now. And one of our mates that were travelling with us had a lot of drama. And end up having to get towed back into the service station, and we ended up spending a couple of days there, and that's how we got to know Danielle and Pete, and it's good. And from then on, whenever we go that way, we always make sure we get to camp in Danielle's backyard, which means we jump the queue.
Yeah, perfect.
We go around the side streets and you're straight into the backyard.
You get priority hamburgers.
And then we get the priority hamburgers, and then we get there, and then we set up in the backyard, and then in the morning, right on dawn, we fuel up. Before the crowd arrives.
Get out of Dodge.
And then get out.
Yeah, that's the get out before the madness starts.
Yeah, that's
good.
Right.
Well, it's good for you, mate, because I know it can be, you know, like all businesses in that part of the world, it can get pretty tough throughout the year. And these events are really good. And look, even though you and I aren't really opera buffs, Danielle, I couldn't imagine you and I sitting through an opera. I'd have to be drunk, I reckon.
I think I'd nearly have to be on the last breath.
Yeah, all right. So listen, people travelling through, you're going to open a bit later or what? Or you?
Yeah, we don't. We're planning on staying open till 9. Obviously, if no one's around, I'm not going to sit here doing nothing. So if no one's around 8 o'clock, I'll shut up and go home and start again at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
As they're coming back through from Birdsville on their way home, we just don't shut until we've got the last customer served. We've done the same at Big Red Bass, just stay open and they get filled up so they're right to go.
You got a crew helping you?
Yeah, got a few here, couple of new girls and some ones that have been with us for a while, so it's great.
Yeah, good stuff. How's the little shop going there at the servo?
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I remember last time we were there, you had a little run of Ariat boots and little special items like that. You got anything like that this time?
Yeah, still doing the Ariat stuff and then Roxy, my daughter-in-law, she's got her little, she does an online business, RK Western Wear. Well, she's got gear of that in here too, and that goes like hotcakes.
Yeah, that's good. Give that a plug. What's that called?
RK Western Wear.
All right. No, good
she's
stuff.
She's got her own website and everything. So, great.
All right.
Doing really well with it.
Does she do big bloke sizes?
Does everything, mate. Everything. Get on there and have a gander.
I will, mate. Just spell that out for me.
Yeah, R.
Yep.
The letter R. The letter K.
Yep.
Western, Weston, Wear, Western Wear.
Western Wear. That's a good name too, considering that is your last name too, so that's pretty good.
Well, correct, and it fits in really well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. All right, Danielle. Well, mate, now look, I did put a bit of a warning out for anyone travelling to Birdsville and heading through Windora. Don't give you any nonsense when they get there.
No.
Well, that's good of you because we don't need any idiots.
Exactly right.
Good advice.
It's a long walk. It's a long walk to anywhere from there without fuel.
Well, it certainly is.
All right. Well, good luck with it. Say good day to Pete for us.
Yes, certainly will do, and we'll talk to you soon.
We will for sure. Good on you, Danielle.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for coming on our podcast. We need all the help we can get, all right?
No worries at all, Doc. Catch you later, Rick. Bye-bye.
See bye-bye. Ya. Bye. And that's Danielle, mate. How good does she go?
What a character.
Yeah, mate, she's good. And her husband, he's been a bit crook of late, Pete. He's a great bloke. And I'm stoked that she come and have a chat to us. It's just, how good is it for these towns and these regions, these events like Birdsville, Big Red Bash, the races?
Yeah, that's right. It's the lifeblood of those little towns, really, isn't it? You know, otherwise they'd find it very, very difficult to get through the quieter times of the year.
Oh, mate, I know they struggle during the year when nothing's happening, especially in the summer months when it's really hot out there and things quieten right off, and probably the only place to be at the bar at the pub across the road, the Western Star, where I have had a couple in there myself. But yeah, it must be so tough out. These people out there have got real character, because it takes something else to live in places like Windora. Bloke at the Patuta pub is the only man in town, basically.
You got to be a people person, because you get all sorts of weird and wonderful characters coming through.
Mm.
You know, you've got to be able to put up with those lonely times, like you said.
Definitely.
You know, you probably don't mind your own company, so to speak. Mm. You know, and be able to put up with the weather extremes and all the little jobs that pop up that, you know, you can't just duck down to Bunnings and grab a few bits and pieces to knock over.
No, exactly right. So if you are travelling, I like the other one, what was it called?
Booze Bud.
We'll have to check that out ourselves, mate. Yeah. That sounds like it's pretty good. Booze Bud. Anyway, so there you go. RK Western Wear. Check it out if you're into your Western gear, and help them out, because, look, they get out there and they struggle throughout the year. They live it up through the big times, which is only really twice a year. And it's good they put things on. I mean, we have a bit of a joke because we're not really opera buffs here. But it is good they put these little events on out in the outback, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd probably be good if it was something a little bit more, or a little less cultured.
Yeah.
You might get a few more people there. You never know.
Oh, you could imagine some, mate. You could imagine some of the locals out there watching the opera.
Oh, mate.
Anyway, all very, very good. All right, well, moving things right along now, mate. We should talk about this beach driving. What do you reckon? We'll talk about some of that. And we want to do a few, give you people out there some nature escapes and some places to get to. So why don't we talk a little bit about that now. And we'll do this, and then we'll get our man Woodsy on and have a chat to him about the four-wheel drive show. But there is a beach drive, mate. We talk about the beach drives, and you know, some of the big ones come to mind, like I mentioned, Fraser, as well as Stockton and places like that. But the drive, the beach highway, the one that runs between North Noosa and Rainbow, it's a beauty. And there's actually some little tracks in there. Little tracks off it and things like that as well. Mate, it's a great drive. And like all beach driving, obviously you check your tyre pressures. And everybody knows that stuff.
I mean, oh, of course.
Anyone listening to us obviously knows about tyre pressures and what preparations you must make.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Yeah, for the beach driving, and make sure you've got Max tracks. I lost me Max tracks.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had them. I don't know how, but I've lost them when I was out in the Darling River.
Yeah, I've been through a few over the years, I've got to say.
Yeah, but when I say lost them, they were on the card and they disappeared.
Yeah.
I'd say they vibrated and gone.
Yep.
On some of the corrugation. Went for a run down to the Tulpa pub and did that. How I've realised is went back and looked at some photos. And they were on the roof of the vehicle before I left, and the next day they weren't.
I've done that, yep. So, Brad from Max Tracks, if you're listening, mate, the Ducks are in need.
Oh, yeah, you know, Brad. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we love you, Brad. Yeah. We love your product. We love your products as well.
Oh, we do. They're great.
Yeah. Well, anyone who wants to advertise on here, you can just give us send us an email, mate. I'll
tell you what, the mark of a great product is when a whole bunch of other people start making accessories to suit that product.
And copy it.
Yeah, you know,
there's a lot of copies.
Dozen people out there that sell mounting kits for Max Tracks specifically.
Well, maybe that's what I needed.
Yeah, that's right.
You should have. Thanks for the tip, Ricky. You could have given me that a bit earlier.
Never mind, mate. Well, before you go do the beach highway, make sure you sort yourself out, all right?
Yeah, we have others here, but I'll need to replace those. Brad, good on you, mate.
All right, so tell me about this run, mate. I haven't done this one.
Yep.
Beach driving is one of my most favourite things to do.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. In fact, it's right up there. It's just something about beach driving, isn't there?
I think it's, low risk.
Mm.
You know,
it is low risk. Although it is low risk, but there are...
If you're sensible.
Yeah, it is low risk. I mean, there are some things that can go wrong, especially with the washouts and things like that. And of course, I think the biggest thing on beach driving for me is being mindful of the same rules apply as when you're on the road, obviously. So there's speed limits and things like that.
Yeah, that's right.
But what you do get on the beach that you won't get on the highway is all the obstacles, like
kids.
People,
kids running around chasing a ball, paying no attention to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Fishos,
and the thing is, they won't hear you coming over the sound of the surf.
That's right.
So you've got to be very mindful that someone can just all of a sudden not even hear you coming. and just sort of step out. And then, you know, you've got people sunbaking and people just swimming and fishing and
yep.
and things like that. But at the end of the day, for me, when you drive onto a beach, well, people love going to the beach. It's an Australian thing to do. People just love going to the beach. But when you actually get to the beach and drive on it, and you're looking out the window, you've got the windows down because you want the full breeze blowing
yeah,
through.
Yeah, you get the smells and the sounds. Yeah,
absolutely. And then you're just looking straight across the ocean. And you think, how good is this? It's like when you first drive onto Fraser, and you go around that bend and start to head north. You go, oh, this is just heaven here. This is as good as it gets. And it's a sense of freedom. It's like, I know there are speed limits, but the thing is you don't want to speed on the beach.
No, definitely not.
Because you want to take it in. You're not in a hurry to get anywhere, really, unless, of course, you want to get...
You're racing a tide or something.
Exactly, racing the tide. But even then, if you've worked it out before you left, you shouldn't have to be racing the tide. But you want to enjoy it.
Oh, of course you do, you know. Yeah. And I think if you're going to go do something like the beach highway, is plan to not have a plan, you know. Yeah. Don't put time constraints on yourself, you know.
Yeah,
you see
exactly.
You see a good spot and the kids want to get out and have a frolic in the surf, hey, pull up.
Yeah,
jump out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that beach highway is a beauty, and for those of you out there who know Noosa, and most people know where Noosa is, it's on the northern side of Noosa. So it's you jump on north on the beach at North Shore Noosa, and then just make your way up to Rainbow, and it's fantastic. It's just one of those beaches, like I say, doesn't get a lot of publicity like the others do, but it's just a fantastic drive. And there are the rocks that are just south of town there, just south of Rainbow Beach at the township. And you need to make sure you navigate those rocks at low tide, because as that tide comes in, it can get stuck there. Plenty have, and you've got to somehow get to higher ground or start heading back if
what's
you don't
it
get
like,
through there.
Like I said, I haven't done it. What's it like compared traffic-wise to somewhere like, you know, the main beach at Fraser?
Oh, no, it's nowhere near as much.
Yeah, okay.
It's probably, look, obviously these things that depend on what time of year. I'm tipping if you were there in holiday peak season, yeah, it'll be full on because
yeah, especially that northern end, I'd imagine.
Oh, because everybody camps at that north shore, Noosa North Shore.
Yep.
And I saw some stuff. Oh, it might have been 12 months ago, or maybe even longer, of the rubbish that people left behind there camped at North Shore Noosa. And I can tell you now that sort of stuff's just going to get all. We all blow up when they put restrictions on where we can
go. Yeah, and that's why they do it.
And that is one of the reasons exactly why they do it, because people leave stuff everywhere.
Mate, don't get me started on that stuff.
Yeah,
fair dinkum,
it's really annoying. I mean, just take your shit with you. Seriously,
it's not hard.
No, it isn't.
It is not hard.
No, it's not. And one thing I mentioned earlier, and I might be sidetracked here, when we were out at Weenie Creek with the Ram and. And we were out around the campgrounds there, and we did some filming and then went for a drive. The one thing I did notice out there was how clean it was.
Yeah.
I've been out there and I've been on some of the side tracks, and you'll always see a bit of, you know, you'll see bits of rubbish here and there. But, mate, we did some side tracks the other day, and we drove all around that area, went down to Colo, then cut across to Lower Portland. There was nothing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was
just
really
beautiful.
Yeah,
and it makes such a difference, you know. You go up to Cape York, again, getting sidetracked a long way away from the beach highway.
No, that's all right.
But you go up to Cape York and do the old telly track, and every campsite you come to is full of dirty old crap paper that people haven't been bothered to bury.
Yeah.
And it just ruins the whole experience.
But there's
no
excuse for that. I mean, seriously, you wouldn't do it at home. I mean, fair dinkum.
As the old saying, you don't shit where you eat.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, look, seriously, if you're going to... That's one thing we're really big on here. And when you go camping, you go four-wheel driving, mate, whatever you take in, take it back out. I mean, it's quite simple.
Yeah.
It's
not and then
hard
some.
To do. And then it's not hard to do. And I've been out in the bush where I've come across where people haven't put their campfires out. There's no one around.
Yeah, I've seen that
too. In the bush.
Yep.
I mean, one day in particular, and it was out not far from where we were the other day. I thought there's a bit of smoke there as we're heading up the track. And there was a fire. About 1,000 empties, cans.
Yep.
And you know one thing, when they throw their bottles and cans into the fire.
Yeah, that's
morons.
Just...
Oh, yeah. Morons, seriously. But they just packed up and left their rubbish in the fire with the fire going.
Yeah.
And it was a fairly warm day with a bit of a wind.
With a bit of breeze, yeah, just what you need. If you're one of those knuckle draggers, fair dinkum, do us all a favour and stay at home, will you?
Yeah, and tune off us. We don't really need you, seriously. Yeah. I mean, because like you say, there's heaps of places around where there's people blowing up about tracks being cut off by gates and areas being rezoned. There was that big one down at Wombat Falls. They're trying to do something with that down there.
When you see that sort of carry on, you...
Wombat State Park, whatever it is down there in Victoria, they're trying to change some stuff on that as well. But look, it makes their job easy when we don't look after it when we're out there.
That's right.
So that's pretty simple. But yeah, there's just another little beach drive for you to think about. If you're heading up around Noosa, it'd be nice air today, wouldn't it? It's nice air today.
So it's a fair run, mate. How long did it take you when you did it?
Mate, to be honest, I don't remember, but it wasn't that far. It wasn't that, it didn't take, well, it wasn't an all-day trip.
Okay.
It was, it was quite good. We did it in the morning. And, mate, we had lunch at Rainbow, so, I mean, it wasn't too bad.
Oh, good way to spend the morning.
Yeah, mate, we did it. Geez, it'd be, mate, when we went up, it would be, geez, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yep.
We were there. We were up at camped at Noosa, camped at North Shore. I thought, oh, let's go front up the beach and have a look. And went up, and it was a great drive. We actually the tides came up, we came down via the highway. So it was a day out.
There you go. It's on my list now.
Yeah, it was a day out, and like we say, some choice camp spots all up there, especially at North Shore. It's some really good camp spots if you love your beach camping, and most of us do. But like we say, it's one of those spots I'm tipping when it's full on holiday season.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially up around that sort of Rainbow Beach area.
Should be the M2 on sand.
Yeah, it would be.
Isn't that the worst road in the world, the M2? All righty, well, we're going to... cross over to our mate Peter Woods now, who's at the four-wheel drive and adventure show. So let's get Woodsy on the phone right now. Hey, Woodsy, how you going, mate?
Oh, good, thanks. How you going, Robert?
That's okay. You can call me whatever you like, Woodsy. That's fine, mate. We're on a podcast here. Just keep the language down. None of that foul-mouth stuff you normally come up with.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I must admit, I don't think I've ever heard Woodsy swear.
No, well, not at me anyway.
Anyway. No. So listen, Woodsy, welcome to the Duck and Rico's Red Dirt podcast, mate. It's our second edition.
Yeah,
it's
thank
great.
You.
It's great to have you on, mate. You're one of the unsung heroes of the four-wheel drive industry, mate. No one really knows you.
Behind the scenes.
You are, I mean, under the radar, although you do put on the best four-wheel drive and adventure shows in the country. Mate,
thank you very much.
Mate, I've got to say that, you pay me. Now, listen, the one that's on in Sydney this week, and I'll be doing some work there with you, and, mate, there's been a fair build-up for it, and as you know, we've done some filming and some videos, not just me, but everybody, just about everybody who's involved with the show. Mate, it's a ripper show, but it's a bit different this year, mate, isn't it?
Actually, it's growing over time, but I think that we're trying to get more experience. People have more experience with four-wheel driving. Obviously, the test track, we've got recovery demos. But the area that you're running, Duck, is the content creator stage. So all these guys who go out and do videos, YouTube channels, and Instagram, they've all got a really big following. So we thought we invited them all down to the show and all up on a bit of a stage. We've got camp oven cooking. You're there interviewing them there. All their vehicles are there, so I can come and check out their trucks and have a chat to them, how they do their videoing and all that sort of stuff. So it's a great opportunity to meet the people they sort of follow on YouTube or on Instagram.
So who are some of the people you're going to have featuring on that stage, mate?
Obviously the Duck.
Yeah, of course. He's the big name.
That's right, yeah. Ronnie Dull's coming over from Perth. He's actually driving across New South Wales now. He'll be here tomorrow. Ronnie's put it together. He's four-wheeling Australia.
Yep.
Sort of start over that. We've also got Sammy Isles from Built Not Bought.
Yep.
So, again, he's come over from Perth, the West Coast Master, the two of them. But then likely you've got Black Knight. Also Michael Allen's coming. He's got a great following. He's ARB photographer. But he's got a really good session. I can't wait to check it out myself. He's got massive cameras and all the gear, and his 79's all geared up for long distance photography. Also he's got red arc recharging stations and all that sort of stuff in it. But he's bringing the vehicle there. He's got his wife Jiminy coming. They're going to talk about how to take photographs of your truck. So of your rig, so it's going to be pretty interesting. But more or less, he's actually going to tell people how to take the good photos on your iPhone.
You've got Graham Cahill on that. You've got Graham Cahill popping his head on that stage as well. But the other, the Anglebush stage, it'll be there. So all the regular big names.
Yeah, Jace, Jason Graham and Sean O'Shea from the Ford of Action having tour. They've been to the show, so he's pretty excited. He's driving down from Brisbane. Ford of Action guys, they're going to have their merchandise this year, the Sats clothing, so that's pretty cool. So we've got a whole strip. We've got the Super Tank Fishing Show. We've got the Ingle Bush Camp stage with all that. And then we've got the Content Creator stage. In between that, we've got Snake. Then we've got the four-wheel drive Land Rover experience, and then we've got recovery demos all along that big strip. So that's got at the end of the show, and that's not even without looking at any product. But ARB have got their biggest display in Australia. I think they've got like 20 vehicles they've set up. So pretty much any brand of four-wheel drive that's in the market, they've got one that they've customised and built up. Yes. So I think that's a pretty good experience, because if you've got whether you've got a Ranger or a Hilux or a 200 series or a Nissan, you know, Pajero, you know, they've got them there set up, and I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, they've also, I'll tell you, well, as you know, sorry to cut you off there, I know a couple of weeks ago I was down at ARB with your young bloke, actually, Chris, where we did some filming, and they were telling me they've got 50 experts, or they don't want to be called experts, but they've got 50 people there.
Gurus.
Well, 50 people who know their stuff.
Yeah.
50 staff there talking to people and giving them advice and tips on how to get out and travel safely and with a bit of confidence. The other thing you've got, you've mentioned all the you know, some of the attractions that are on, and they're always good, but you've also got many exhibitors there. So if you're in the market for a camper trailer or a caravan, you need to get yourself out there and have a look. You can have a look around and try before you buy.
Exactly, yeah. Well, the test track's pretty cool. Some of the manufacturers have lent us their vehicles. I think we've got four Toyotas, Mitsubishi. There's quite a bit of a variety of vehicles to try on the test track. So that's pretty cool. But we've also got what we're calling now, which is part of the show, is a caravan and camper trailer hub. It sort of evolved because JK came a few years ago and went, well, this show's pretty good. So they've expanded with a super display. I think it's almost as big as the Rose Hill show, actually. Then Avan are coming, New Age, a few other caravan guys, pretty much every camper trailer company's here. So it's quite a big area alone just for that side of it. So we're calling it our caravan and camper trailer hub, which is pretty cool. And then we've also got a lot of guys from who do overlanding from Expedition Centre who sort of instigated the idea. A lot of people are bringing ideas to us, which I think is pretty cool. So we're creating an overlanding hub, and I know, Doug, you had a chat with them the other day. If you're into that sort of customising your vehicle to a trip around Australia or around the world, these guys are specialists, and they've got the guys that actually do the build, so you can actually have a chat about the technical side of things, and that's kind of in one big area, calling it the Overland Hub. So that's happening as well. So it's kind of like whatever you want to do, the show's got that beyond just the product, and there's obviously heaps of product here with all the manufacturers, but there's also the people that actually do the builds you can talk to, which is why you want to come to the show.
Well, mate, I've been involved in, I think, just about every show at Sydney.
You have. You're in the beginning.
Since you...
I think you even had hair when you started.
Since you got involved, mate. And every year's just gotten bigger and better. The vibe is just... it's such a great place to be. Everyone's having a great time. You know,
yeah, the weather's epic this year too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we've had some weather events over the years there. It's been fun. This year's looking like an absolute cracker. You know, if you haven't been to one of these things... do yourself a favour, get down there. Plenty of bargains, heaps to see. Great way to spend the day.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing too, we bumped into Harry's from the Bondi Rescue guys. And I think quite a few of the Bondi Rescue guys are coming out. So, you know, that's a cool thing. I think Harry's going to talk about saving lives on the stage, on the bush camp stage. But he tied up with Autocraze. So Autocraze is doing a massive display, actually. Now it's going. They started with a little space and they've got more and more stuff, so their stuff's pretty cool. But yeah, there's the variety of stuff here now. Drive Tech, the other one, Bob Jane T-Mart, they've just booked a massive site, and they've got some really good tyre specials happening. So, you know, if you want to grab a bargain, I know they're here keen and they're ready to talk tyres. So yeah, the variety here is actually quite immense, actually.
Geez, it sounds like it's a lot bigger than last year, and last year was pretty big. I mean, like Bob Jane,
we're a couple block full. I think we sold out all the space. Yeah. I think we sold a 3x3 yesterday, and I think I'm trying to work out where I can fit them now. So they've got the Overland Tough Dog with the Ultimate Rock Sport, so that's a bit of fun. There's no mud this year, but I'm sure there'll still be a few vehicles rolling over. And the that's kind of a cool thing with the Tough Dog guys. And again, it's more than just a show, and I think that's what we like about it. And we're passionate about four-wheel driving. I've been doing it since I was a young bloke. It's more than a show. It's just a total experience, and you just get immersed in everything four-wheel driving, caravan, camper, trailing, fishing. This is the place to go.
Sounds great, mate. And I can tell, as we've mentioned earlier, we'll be broadcasting the camping and off-road radio show live from the Terrain from the Terrain Tamer stand on the Friday morning. So for anybody who wants to pop in and say good day, we'll be there. And not just there, we'll also be in Adelaide and Perth. We'll be broadcasting the radio show live from all three shows this year. We've done it over the last few years, and it's been a bit of a hit. So if you're in the area on the Friday morning, come and say good day. We'll be broadcasting, like I say, live on the radio, and basically that show will be relayed throughout about 170 odd radio stations around the country, so that'll be great. But if you're in Sydney or you're getting there, come and say good day. We'll be at the Terrain Tamer stand doing the radio program from there, and then for the rest of the weekend, like you say, Woodsy, I'll be on that stage with Ronnie and Graham and all those other legends, mate, on that content creator stage. Look forward to doing that. All right, mate, so I'm tipping you're pretty flat out, Woodsy.
Just cruising along. Yeah,
just good, mate. If you can just organise my parking spot, the red carpet, as well as all the other goodies that's on my rider, mate. Okay.
Naturally.
Yeah, of course, mate. In other words, I'll be going in there and looking after myself, Ricko.
Yeah, that's what I normally do, mate.
Yeah, exactly. All right, mate. Well, I'll see you. I think we're having a couple of beers tomorrow night, and we'll definitely be having a couple on Friday night. And I'll stick my head in there tomorrow afternoon. See how you're going. I might even leave the car there, mate. But, mate, cool. It'll be a big show, and we'll encourage people to go out of it. If anybody...
Something that Sydney has never happened before.
Look, just one thing, I've had a few inquiries, because obviously this year, just by attending the show, you can win the ultimate Kimberley experience. And I can tell you, this is a fantastic prize, Ricko.
Yeah,
I saw
that.
It includes flights, it includes food, it includes food money for fuel. You do the Gibb River Road. You do some heli fishing, the whole bit. It'll be a fantastic. It's a fantastic experience.
Can I enter?
You can enter, I guess.
You can. You're allowed to. Duck's not allowed. Sorry about
it. Yeah, beautiful.
I don't think I'm allowed to enter. But anyway, I'll just.
I'm actually not officially working at the show this year for the first time.
I know, that's what I mean. You're not officially. So I thought it'd give you a job, so can't enter.
So I've had a few inquiries in regards to that, because obviously we've been talking about it on the radio. How do people enter that? Do they just?
We just come in, put the register your name on the iPad.
Yep.
At the entrance.
Yep.
We got about five or six of them set up there, and then we draw it. So at the end of the show, or the end of the three shows, we're going to draw it. But it is an amazing prize, because I've spent a bit of time up there.
Yep.
And you've got a 200 series Land Cruiser with a rooftop tent. Anybody's into four wheel driving, it's the ultimate to Gibb River Road and the whole Kimberley experience. There's a bit of glamping happening at Alquestro and Mount Hart Station. Accommodation, flying down to the Bungles, staying there overnight, great accommodation there, getting Bungle experience. The sort of stuff that you never, I think the total value is over $15,000.
Yeah, great prize.
It's sort of something you kind of go, oh, I'd love to do that, and you just never kind of would. And so that's why we thought, what would four drivers like to win? And that's so I just created it from there. And everybody's been great up in the Kimberley region to support it, and that's why the heli fishing.
Great...
fly a helicopter in the Kimberley is like, yep, let's tick the box on that one. That's the bucket list job. Yeah,
you're right.
That's a great prize, Ricko. That is a fantastic prize.
If I win,
I'll
be taking a few weeks off.
Yeah, fair. I thought you said you're going to take me.
You can take a friend, apparently.
I thought you were going to take me. You want to be a big helicopter, I can tell you. All right, mate. Okay, well, if people want more information, just jump on the Google, type in Sydney 4WD Show. All the info will be there. Ticket info, all there. 4WD Show on the Google. And look, and Adelaide's coming up soon as well. Look out for that one for anyone listening across Australia. And then, of course, we all finish up in Perth. Woodsy, I look forward to seeing you, mate. I'll see you out there.
Thank you. Okay, see ya. Bye.
See you, matey.
See you, mate. Good on ya. And that was Woodsy, Peter Woods. And, geez, he's a good bloke. He does a great job at the shows, and has done for quite a few years. And like you say, you were out there for the first one.
Mate, he's taken that show from literally a bunch of tents with a few vendors in it to what it is today. And
it's amazing.
It is one of the premier four-wheel drive shows in Australia.
Have you been to the Adelaide show?
Yeah, I have.
Mate, how big is that? I was shocked.
Perth. Yeah, they're crazy.
Well, I haven't been to Perth, which I'm doing Perth this year, and because I'm doing some work with him, as you know, and I've got to say, I'm looking forward to Perth, but Adelaide blew me away. I just could not believe the size of the thing, the range of gear, the boats, the boat part of it was just enormous. And the good thing about this is that the exhibitors do well, because there are so many people just like us who love going to these shows, and they love to just buy the knickknacks at the little stalls that That's are around. Right. All the exhibitors are there, and you'll always get a show special, especially mate, on a Sunday arvo.
Wait till you get to Perth and you see what that's like, mate. Over there, it's sort of, you know, they refer to back east, and they sort of get left out a lot of stuff. So when there is something on, they are on it like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that, and it should be good. But for anybody out there listening this week, and like we say, I mean, this is a podcast, so if you're listening to it next week, well, you've missed out.
Yep, just sorry about that.
Now, listen, mate, you were – look, I'm just wondering one thing before we we're going to talk about the Strzelecki in a minute, and then that'll probably see us off for this week. But, mate, you were going to practice on your KFC recipe. Have you worked on that for our cooking?
Not this week, mate. I've had a little bit on my hands this week. The missus had some fairly major surgery earlier in the week, which is why I won't be working out at the Sydney show this weekend. So I will come out for a day. I'm going to go hang out in the Darcy stand. So come and say good day there. But no, I haven't, is the short answer.
Okay, well, fair enough. Well, mate, I want you to get onto it because, I mean, I was looking forward to a bit of Rico's FC. How's that sound?
RFC,
Rico's Fried Chicken. There you go. That's exactly right. And look, just on that, mate, I'm sure you want to thank the many well wishers and people who have taken the time to ask how your wife's going.
Yeah, mate, it's been overwhelming. It's been phenomenal. The amount of messages I received via social media and emails, phone calls, texts, it's just astonishing. It really does help you get through those sort of things, you know. It's, what she's gone through is fairly full on. Not going to go into the details, but, During the day on Monday, I was pretty stressed out
while it was
happening. You know, they told us it'd take a certain amount of time. It took nearly double. So I couldn't find out what was going on. I was stressing out. And I took a great deal of comfort from some of the messages I received via Facebook and those sort of things. So thank you to everyone who reached out with a little bit of comforting advice and words there. It was just... Yeah, very special.
No, good stuff. And for people who don't know what we're talking about, Rico's wife had to go in for a operation in hospital. She's done that, and it's good to know that. And for those of you who do know about it, I'm sure you send your best if you haven't done that already. And it's good to know, Rico, that people do care, mate. So it's amazing when the chips are down, you see people just pop up and say, "Look, mate, we're here." You know,
mate. Our off-road, outdoor, four-wheel drive community is just something I'm so privileged to be a part of, you know.
There's a few good people. It's awesome. That is for sure. All right, mate, so we're going to talk a bit about desert tracks now and the Strzelecki, which is a track I've done. And, look, I love it. It's a great part of the world. We actually did it on the way back from Birdsville one year. Jeez, it's been like the Birdsville show today.
A little bit, hasn't it?
But anyway, that's just the way it is. So, mate, tell us a bit about the Strzelecki track.
Mate, I've done the Strez a few times as well. It's a cracker of a track. So it's in South Australia. Starts at Innamincka in the north and goes down to Lyndhurst in the south, which is sort of between Maree and, where would it be? What's the other town south of Maree? South of Lyndhurst. Lee Creek. Yeah.
Have you ever been to Lee Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got stranded at Lee Creek.
I bought a pair of boots at Lee Creek.
Did you? Well, mate, I've got to say, when we went to Lee Creek, we were travelling down, we'd left Birdsville, and we did the Birdsville track. We camped at with the big McDonald's thing. Jeez, memory blank, on the Birdsville track.
Oh, yeah, Mungerani Hotel.
Mungerani. Yeah, anyway, I've told this story on the radio a few times about Mungerani.
Is it a long story?
No, not really. Oh, good. But what happened the year before, doesn't matter if it is, we're on time constraints. But, mate, let me tell you, we went to Big Red Bash one year, and it was the young bloke, myself, and a couple of the boys from Coldies and a couple of mates, and we went out. Steve Robson was out there from MDC, and we had a great time. Then we went down... we had a great time, right? It was just the young bloke and I as far as our family here go. So on the following year, I said to the missus, "You've got to come to this. It's fantastic." I mean, mate, the weather's beautiful. She goes, "Oh, it's not cold." I said, "No, beautiful." I know I'm showing her photos and we're sitting around in blue singlets and shorts and hats on to keep the sun off. And having a beer. I said, look how good it is. Well, anyway, so sure as shit, it was freezing, absolutely freezing the following year. And she froze the whole time. And like most of the girls, they don't like being cold.
No.
And I mean, I was no help to her because I was out drinking with all the boys around the fire at night and then jumping in the camper trailer and, you know, like halfway.
Sleeve it off.
Gone, you know. So we're at Mungerani and we got in there and we sort of got in very late in the afternoon, pulled up, found a spot as you do, got a fire going, and she goes for a walk to check out that hot spring there.
Yep.
She comes back, she's got $30 on you. And I said, what for? She said, I've just bought a 12-volt electric blanket. I said, I don't care if it's 330. Go and get it. But the things you buy, and she just found someone, she just bumped into someone just talking to these, you know, randoms that she didn't know, and came back with the electric blanket. And I've got to say, it did the trick. She was sweet after that. It was a shame we were on our way back. But that year, we would, with the next day, we'd left, and a mate of mine, who hit a rut or something, and the basically just destroyed the camper trailer, tore the axle out from under the thing, ripped the guards off this whole bit. And we were on our way to do the Sky Trek in the Flinders.
Yeah.
Right? And we didn't get there. We got to Lee Creek. And I've got to say, it was a bit different because obviously the boom had gone, the mining was over.
That's right. The whole town was for sale.
And almost, and when you say we talk about, and we mentioned ghost towns, this was like a suburb that looked fairly modern because it had all the big relocatable homes and the driveways and the lawns and the gardens, the whole bit. Empty.
Empty.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a whole suburb and you could have bought it, whole thing, shops and all, for less than $1 million.
Yeah, incredible. What would you do with it, though? That's the thing. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, that, I mean, it wouldn't matter if it was $10. You'd do something with it. You know, the pub had basically, you could see... You could see that in its day when the mining was there, it would have been full on. Like the pub was huge, big, you know, this big tavern. It was basically half closed off with a girl behind the bar.
Yep.
The grocery store opened for a couple of hours a day. The shops were gone, like they were just shut, you know, the little shopping centre.
The grocery store there's still a cracker.
The caravan park is still a goer as well. We stayed, that's where we stayed. There was one bloke running that, him and his dog, which I think was a dingo. And but you could just see that the better days had been and gone.
Yeah.
The one thing it did have was full 4G service.
Yep.
Amazing. It was like you could just see the money's been spent here, then the phone infrastructure will stay there.
Yeah, and the mines all dried up and off they went.
It's a bit like the Mary Kathleen, and we'll talk about that up near Mount Isa. Have you ever been in there?
No, I haven't been in there. I've been past it.
Yeah, mate, that's something. That is definitely something to go and check out. It's these days, when you go into the Mary Kathleen, it's the same thing. You see the old driveways and the slabs. The buildings are gone, but the slabs are still there and the driveways are still there and the streets and then the community tennis court and the community public pool.
You know, another 100 years, it'll look like Farina or Beltana or something like that.
There's no real remains there. No structures. It's all been taken. It's just what's on ground level, just the driveways, the roads and things like that. And the old pool, the public pool, which is now obviously just empty.
Yep.
But what you'll find in there is a lot of grey nomads.
Oh, yeah.
Caravans, you'll find a lot of motorhomes, things like that. And then if you can work your way around, go and check out the water. It is spectacular. Just don't go for a swim unless you want to glow in the dark. But, it was certainly – and when you go to these places, you think, you know what? You know, people lived here. This was a community in here. And here you are. You're standing, especially there. If you were to get a satellite image of Mount Isa to, say, Cloncurry, it looks like Mars.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And so right there in the middle of nothing, in all this red, there was this little township and uranium mine and people living there and living their lives and raising their families, doing all that. Just gone.
And how good is it? You know, you can go check those places out and experience that sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's so many places out there. Like, my list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer.
Well, mate, put that one on. It's good just to pop your head in and have a look and check it out. There was one residence in there, and he had some pretty serious signs about trespassers, so we didn't go in. But we chucked a Yui in his gateway. But we were going to go in anyway. But there was one resident out there. But look, it is in the middle of nowhere, basically. Not too far from Mount Isa. But if you're on that run heading to Darwin or on your way back from Darwin down, to get come back down because it's going to get wet up there soon.
Yeah, that's right.
Call into the Mary Kathleen and check it out. And like we always do, Rico, we've wandered from the Strezlecki.
So, mate, the Strezlecki goes from Minaminka to Lyndhurst, which we established was near Lee Creek.
Yep.
That's where we went off on our little tangent. So the track, it's 475 k's long, and this is one of the few tracks out there that wasn't put through due to mining. This was pioneered by a cattle rustling bushman by the name of Harry Redford. So in 1871, old mate Harry stole 1,000 head of cattle from Longreach in Queensland, and he herded them all down to Blanchwater Station near Mount Hopeless in South Australia to sell. And the reason he took them so far is because he thought if he tried to knock them off, you know, too close to home, people would recognise the brands and realise where they'd come from. Mm. So he took his stolen cattle down there through the Channel Country and across the Strezlecki Desert. Now, this is a region that Burke and Wills had only navigated 10 years earlier. So it was still pretty much untouched. And the trip killed those blokes. So it gives you a fair idea of how tough the country is. And to do it with 1,000 head of cattle is just even more impressive. Mm. So, and even today, you know, the track is still a bit of a test. You'll need to be completely self-sufficient. There's nothing out there once you leave, you know, either Lyndhurst or Innaminka. Mm. There's no fuel, there's no servos, there's zero facilities along the way. And the road is pretty much unsealed the whole way. You'll come across a couple of little stretches where there's the odd emergency runway and a couple of sections for overtaking because you get the road trains out there, so that's fairly welcome when you come across them, but for the most part, it's unsealed and pretty rugged going. And at either end, there's fuel. So, you know, 475 k's is not too far to go on a tank of fuel these days. Most folks will do it, but take a couple of jerrys anyway, just in case. And, you know, great roadhouses at either end in Lyndhurst and Innaminka. In fact, in Lyndhurst, everywhere we go in Australia, getting sidetracked again here, everywhere we go, I'll get a schnitzel.
Really?
Everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And rate them.
Yeah, right.
And for quite a while.
And rate them, okay. So
for quite a while.
So listen, if you're cooking schnitzels out in the outback, look out, because one of the harsh schnitzel critics of all time,
oh mate,
Rico, will be out your way.
And, too right.
Mate, if he doesn't like it, you don't want to be given a two.
No.
Have you ever given a schnitzel a two?
I've given one a zero.
Oh, really? Where was that at? Do you want to name names? Or
Yeah. I should definitely shame these blokes. That was shocking.
Yeah?
Where was it? It was in Victoria, just near ARB's head office, actually. I can't remember the name of the town.
Yeah, probably might not just name them.
No, there's a club there, and it came out looking like a bloody albino thing.
Yeah,
it was
right.
White and horrible.
Yeah.
And when the waitress came and said, "How's your dinner?" I said, "Not good."
Mate, in a lot of the places...
I said, "Does the chef work in a hospital or something?"
In a lot of the places you go to, you'll get a good steak out in the outback in the bush, and you'll get a good feed. You'll always get a good Chinese at a bowling club or something. I remember one time we were on the road and we were in the middle of nowhere. We come across this roadhouse and a mate of mine said, "I feel like a pie." So he walked in and said, "Mate, you got any pies?" And the bloke said, "Yeah, I'll just microwave it for you." He goes, "Oh, mate."
Oh.
And he said, no, I don't want that. And he goes, "Well, what's wrong with you? Wouldn't you like a microwave pie?" And my mate said, "About as much as you'd like a poke in the eye with a blunt stick." He goes, "Oh." There's no way in the world. It's amazing what you can come across. But anyway, we won't name the bad schnitzel.
No,
where was the best one?
Well, the best one for quite a while was at Lyndhurst, at the roadhouse there.
Yeah, okay.
Great feed. That was a cracker.
Yep.
We actually had blokes in our crew who would wander off when they saw the waiter coming to check how the food was because they knew that this bloke was about to cop it. And they didn't want to be party to it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so I wouldn't hold back, you know. No. Spade's a spade.
Well, fair enough.
All right, so if you're going to do the track, allow yourself a couple of days. There's some fantastic camping available at Monte Colina Bore. I think we've spoken about that on the radio show at one stage.
Yep.
Monte Colina, great spot there. Heaps and heaps of room, no facilities. But there's a terrific bore there. At one end, the water coming out of the ground is really, really warm. You wouldn't actually want to get in the water there. At the other end of the bore, it's completely freezing cold.
Okay.
So it's an interesting little spread of water there. Plenty of dingoes at night, so if you're going out there, answer the call of nature after dark, just keep your wits about you and take a good strong torch, you'll be right. I reckon one of the must-dos along the way on the Strez is to go and visit Mount Hopeless itself.
Yeah, right.
So Mount Hopeless, it's not much more than a glorified hill. It's only 125 odd metres high, so I've actually been up to the top of it. It was pretty special. It was named by the explorer Edward Eyre. So he was one of the first blokes to try and get to the middle of Australia to see what was out there in the 1840s. And he named it Mount Hopeless after climbing to the top and looking out towards the north and just seeing a whole horizon full of nothing. Mm. You can imagine how disheartened he would have been. They're expecting to find an inland sea out there.
Yeah, right.
So that's where it got its name from. So get out there and climb up to the top, throw a rock on the cairn and see it for yourself. You know, have that experience. See, felt what Eyre would have felt when he went out there. Mm. You know, for me, that's to go places where you can still do that, where it's relatively untouched, is awesome. Just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. The Strzelecki, great track.
Yep. So it was named after the Polish explorer, Strzelecki. What do you reckon Strzelecki's first name was?
Wasn't Wordsmith or whatever it was. Wordsworth.
Paul. Paul Strzelecki. And you know what? Strzelecki himself named Mount Kosciuszko.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There you go.
So
you'll learn it all here on the Duck and Rico's Red Dirt podcast. I never knew that.
So what about old mate Harry Redford, who put this road in? So he ended up making it down to Blanchwater Station, and he ended up selling the cattle for £5,000, which is the equivalent of over $250,000 today. Mm. And although he was caught, he was never convicted because the jury was so blown away with the actual feat of having blazed that trail that he got away with it.
So they thought, mate, we can't.
No, that's right.
That's all right. Like I say, with different times.
Yeah. Mm. So there you go. Now, if you're going to do it, go prepared. You know, sub-zero temps at night, high 40s during the day, so and everything in between. Decent tyres are a must. Light truck construction, so some all-terrain, some mud terrains from a reputable brand. Plenty of fuel, food, water, that sort of stuff. A good tip, fly nets. If you're going to stop for lunch somewhere, you'll thank me later. Fly nets are a must. And the insecticides as well if you're going to camp at the bore because you get a fair few mozzies out there. The best time to go is probably between April and October as well. So,
yeah, right.
You know, get out there. Go check it out.
There it is. Well, that's Strzelecki track, and it is a beauty. And we do recommend that you get out and check a few of these good tracks out. Mate, it's been a pretty full-on little podcast today. We haven't got to some of the stuff we wanted to do, which was, of course, the station out in Western Australia, but we can do that next week. That's not going anywhere.
There's no rules here.
No rules. And
don't tell me how to live, man.
That's not going anywhere at all. And, mate, what was that bloke's name? Redford? What was his name?
Harry Redford.
Harry, his brother's a great actor. He's done some great stuff.
Robert.
You might have seen some of his work in some of the movies he's made.
Oh, hey, Bob.
Good stuff. We'll talk about radios. I'm going to throw a random at you. You know when you go to a service station or a roadhouse and you go to use a watering can, do you get dirty when it's empty?
Yeah, I do.
I'd say, okay, I'll put it the other way. Have you been there and it's got plenty of water in it and you use it all? Do you go and fill it up?
No, I fill it up every time.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You're a good bloke.
Mate, I'm one of those strange blokes. I'll go camping. When I've packed up camp, I'll go and pick up other people's rubbish.
Yep.
If I'm sitting around waiting for someone else at the servo and I see the can's empty, I'll go fill it up.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a good
queer rooster.
I'll tell you one thing I have done too is left wood, firewood.
Yep.
If we haven't burned all our firewood on the night, you'll think, well, someone else will use this camp tonight. And just leave a bit of firewood there for them. I've seen plenty of people do that.
Yep.
As well, when they're just passing.
Yeah, well, I've rocked up to a campsite and had a pile of wood there.
Yeah,
it's been
I have
welcome.
Too. Yeah, well, I did that. Welcome. Well, when we had that little breakdown a couple of months ago now out just the other side of Walgett, I pulled up at a little off the side of the road the night before we broke down, and there was like a little grass. It was like a rest area, but not a rest area. And obviously the council had identified the fact that people stayed there because they had a few bins around. But there was all little branches off under the trees here or around there, wherever you wanted to go. And where I pulled up, mate, there was firewood stacked there. I thought, oh, you little
beauty. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and thanks for leaving that there for us. And we did the same when we were at Louth. We camped on the river there at Louth on the Darling and one night. And I collected a bit of wood and then the next, we didn't burn it all. Next morning I just thought, yeah, left it all nice and neat for them.
Yep.
Someone will use this campsite tonight.
It was absolutely.
And anywhere along them campsites, along the river, anywhere or creeks is always a good one. So if you can do that and be like us. I will say, though, if I use all the water in the watering can, Rico, I drive out while let's leave it empty.
Oh, mate. Fair dinkum. I'm judging you now.
It's okay. But I am one of those blokes.
You've changed.
But I do get the shits when I walk in there and it's, and it's empty when I get there. Anyway.
Well, how about if you're listening, tell us what you do when it comes to that sort of stuff. Send us an email. At info@ricoandtheduck www.roadhouses.com.au. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are on the watering can at the roadhouses.
Exactly right. Well, that's our podcast this week. We certainly do hope that you've enjoyed it. And look, we've been very, very happy bringing it to you. Don't forget, you can send us that email, Rico. The email address
is info@ricoandtheduck.com.au.
That's it, Rico and the Duck. info@ricoandtheduck.com.au. That is the email address. Make sure you send us a note. Check out our Facebook pages and see what we've been up to as well. But that is the Duck and Rico's podcast for this week. We'll be back to do it all again next week. And hopefully you'll check that one out as well. Until then, we'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week.
I might even see you at the four-wheel drive show with Woodsy in a few days.
I'll be on the Darty stand. Look for the fat guy.
I look forward to that. No, I won't be there. I'll be on the content creator stage. Well, this has been a Blue Collar Media production. And thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back to do it all again next time. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.